we talk about Jesus being the foundation of everything that we do as a church. But I wanted, this week I wanted to make that far more personal for us in a different way. And so I'd like to take that topic and make it just a little bit more personal. How many of you have taken, Paul, did you take a motorcycle, the safety course? I took a course. Has anybody else ever taken one of those? Dennis isn't here this morning. But, I mean, you took it? So what they do in this course is one of the first things you learn is that where you turn your head, you will fall. And they look just like that, don't they? I took mine at Mount Sac, and you're just like that. You're right through these things. And what they tell you is, here's what we want you to do. If you're going to make that left-hand turn, we want you to look left and then turn. Because where you put your head is where you're going to go. And if you ever think that that's not true, you ought to just get on the freeway and look, and do that rubbernecking thing and look at an accident for a while. Because pretty soon you'll be in the lane closest to them. Because your body will naturally start to turn you that direction. Far too often in our lives, we focus on the wrong things. A couple years ago, we saw that unfold with Harold Camping. Do you remember him? Harold Camping was the guy that said the end of the world is whatever date it was. I think the first time he said it, it was in early spring, and then he changed it to October after that didn't happen. Well, he took all of his money, all his supporters, they sent him all of their money because, see, they were going to be gone, and then they met. And this actually happened years and years ago to the Seventh-day Adventists. The lady that started that said the same thing. But he said, that's going to happen, and then, what do you know? We're still there, huh? And I'm fairly certain I wasn't left behind.
There's somebody underneath.
We're still here. And his followers were destitute because they gave every dime to him. And he wouldn't give it back. He said, well, we're not gone yet. Well, if I was gone, I wouldn't need the money, would I? But he said, no, we're not gone. He finally passed away. But see, they were focused on that ending thing. And while Jesus told us to be looking for it, he also gave us stuff to do to keep us busy, didn't he? We weren't supposed to just sit back on some rock somewhere and look up to heaven. That's not what we're supposed to do. They were focused on the wrong things. Many times, however, we do the very same things. We focus on our problems, don't we? How many of you know, I'm not going to ask you to point them out, especially if it's your spouse. How many of you know people that are crisis people? Everything that they live in is a crisis. Paula knows the story that her mother called us. She lived about 5 blocks from us, and she had put in a pool. And she lived by herself, and we were very close, and so she calls me one night. You gotta come over here. Somebody shot a hole in my pool. And it's gonna leak into the foundation of my house, and my house will fall over. Well, it was the intake, so that you could just turn on the faucet, and the pool would start filling. That's what it was. The hole was meant to be there. People live in these crises, and we focus on our problems all the time. That's a terrible way to live. But we do that many, many times. A widow was lonely, so she went to the pet store to find an animal to keep her company. And the owner said he had a parrot that would make a great pet. It was an expensive parrot, and would talk her ear off. So she purchased the bird and took it home. She hung the cage in the kitchen, and the parrot didn't say a single word. A week later, she went back to the pet store and told the owner that the parrot had been completely silent. He said, well, did you buy a mirror? She said, no, I didn't get a mirror. He said, you need a mirror. Because see, if you get this mirror, you can take a look at yourself and just start talking and talking. Okay, so she buys this expensive mirror and she goes home. A week later, she returns to the pet store. Told the owner the parrot had still not said a word. He asked if she had bought a ladder. And she said, no, I didn't buy a ladder. You didn't tell me about it. You need a ladder. Because then he's going to go up and do his exercises and stuff. And he can go to CrossFit after that. And he's going to go up and down his ladder, and he'll start talking. So she buys the ladder, and she goes back up home. Nothing. So she goes back to the pet store again. She says, parrot still hasn't said anything. Did you get a swing? What? No. Well, if you get the swing, you'll get on that. He'll start relaxing after his workout, I guess. And start relaxing, and he'll start talking. So she gets the swing home, puts it in the cage. Nothing. Finally, she goes back. She storms into the store, and the owner says, what's wrong? And she said, the bird died. And the owner asked her if the bird had said anything before it died, and she said it uttered one sentence. He said, what did it say? She said, it said, don't they have any food at that store? So often, we see what we perceive to be the problem coming at us. And we worry about the problem, and our focus is completely taken off of the solution. I am a natural storyteller, and I love the great stories of the Bible and the great men of the Bible. What I love most about them is they weren't great of themselves. Too many people miss out on that. They were just like you and me. What made them great? They weren't without sin. Many of them made really poor choices. Many of them had to come out of darkness before they found the light of God. But I believe that one of the things that made them great is most of them learned where their focus ought to be. At some point in their lives, they learned that their focus has to be on God. So I want to take a look now. We're going to have a lot of scripture reading to do today. So it's also going to be in Spanish afterwards. Paula said, looked at my sermon, she said, wow. Because we're almost reading the whole chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. But we're going to start with verse 1 through 4. It says, after this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Maonites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already at... I'm going to skip to Engedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. So there are several important factors here that I want you to see in this passage. Jehoshaphat was afraid. He's the king of Judah, and he was afraid. God created your emotions. Did you know that? Stevie loves to tease me because I cried almost all the commercials that did that. I can't watch Go Max, nothing. See? But God created those emotions. He created fear. It keeps people alive. Fear isn't the problem. It's our reaction to the fear that's the problem. When we fear, we must keep our eyes on the Lord because he is the solution. Now, Paul, I don't know if you ever come close to a big accident. If you see something coming towards you, I guarantee you, my reaction is not to keep watching that something. My first reaction to start steering. I start looking at ways to get out. And usually it's not the brakes first. On a motorcycle, the brakes first is usually an asking to have an accident. So usually it's, can I go right or left? I look for the solution. I don't focus on the problem. King Jehoshaphat was afraid, but he immediately sought the Lord and called on all of his people to do the same. Before we finish the story, I want to contrast Jehoshaphat's response to fear with that of the people of Israel under the leadership of Moses. Now, you will hear me talk about them hundreds of times because they are great examples of what not to do. The Israelites had come to the edge of the promised land. And so what did they do? Rather than saying, you know, God said, let's go get it, let's go get it, they sent spies into the land. And so they sent these spies into the land. Well, you're already acting out of doubt and fear when you send the spies in, aren't you? And the spies come back and 10 of them say, you know, oh yeah, they brought back grapes. They had two people it took to carry one, what do you call that? One thing of grapes.
Bunch?
That's a bunch? One bunch of grapes, it took two guys to carry. They said, oh yeah, the land is flowing with milk and honey. It's got, the stuff is awesome, but there are giants. We look like grasshoppers to them. And so they said, we should not go in. Only two of them said, listen, God said, he promised it to us. So he'll give it to us. He'll deliver it to us. We just have to go get it. And those are the only two people that lived, adults that lived to go into the promised land. Out of probably millions. The Israelites consistently gave in to their fears. Consistently. And as I've already told you, Ten Commandments is one of my favorite movies. And I watch. Remember when they were at the Red Sea? Already that guy gave them was just going at it against Moses. Oh, you brought us here to die. Right? You put us up to God as a terrible general. That's what Pharaoh said. They were already focusing on the sea and on the Egyptians. Every time. And when they didn't have enough water, they were focusing on thirsting to death. It's amazing that you can see all of these things and still not trust God. How many of you think, by right hand, how many of you think if you saw the Red Sea part and you saw a pillar of fire by day and a cloud by night going ahead of you, or flip that, pillar of fire by day, night, and a cloud by day going up ahead of you, how many of you think you would trust God? I want to say that I would trust God at that point. And yet, they still, all they could see were the giants. Every time. See, our giants seem so big in our lives, don't they? And we've all had giants. If you haven't had giants yet, you will. For those of you that are younger, your giants are coming. They've come at us in the form of cancer. They've come at us in the form of the loss of loved ones. They've come at us in the form of lost jobs. Come at us from all over the place. There are giants out there. And if you focus on the giants, you're in trouble. Remember Peter? The verses that they read this morning, Matthew 14:25-31. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost. They said, they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Did you know, I saw just on Facebook yesterday, that "do not be afraid" is said over 365 times in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? And you can believe everything you see on Facebook. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And Peter got down out of the boat, yet as he walked on the water, he was actually doing it, and came towards Jesus. So if anybody ever tells you that Jesus was the only one to walk on water, that's not technically true, is it? Peter walked on the water. And then it says, "but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him." "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Now, I have to admit, I didn't think that faith was so little, because I don't know that I would have ever gotten out of the boat. He did get out of the boat. But then seeing the wind. So he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the wind. He looked at his giant instead of looking at the solution. He lost his focus. Let's go back to our story of King Jehoshaphat. This guy got, one of the guys became a prophet and was filled with the Spirit of God. Jehoshaphat began to cry out to God and prayed a lengthy prayer to him. In verse 12, he says, "Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." I want you to know that this is one of the best verses in the Bible. Did you hear the words, "we have no power, and we do not know"? In my weakness, God is strong. And they were able to, King Jehoshaphat, the king of all Judah, was able to say, "I don't have any power, and I don't know, but my eyes are on you." His focus was in the right place. Amen? He knew where he was supposed to be looking. He knew that his only salvation was in God. It is when you're able to admit that you have no power and you don't know that God can do his very best work. Remember that Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy when he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Remember that? That's entire focus. And if we're completely focused on God, we can't be in a better place to defeat giants, can we? When we lose our focus and our faith wavers, just like Peter, we begin to sink. And I want to go ahead and finish this story. It's long, so I'll try to read it fast, but I just love this whole story. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, who began to prophesy, and he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid," there it is again, Facebook must be right, "or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them, They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites, or Korathites, stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men. This is great. For those of you on praise teams, you are the Marines. Okay? You're the Marines. After he appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. Now look at this. Not only is he focused on God, but he's already praising him before he's gotten the victory. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. And after they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies laying on the ground, and no one had escaped. Wow. And I think the praise team was probably the happiest. So let me tell you, God did all the fighting for them. Isn't that an amazing story? Because, see, one king, they finally had a decent king, and he was smart enough that when he got scared, he inquired of the Lord. There are many battles in our lives that we are powerless to fight. But you know what? God already knows that. Faith is trusting in God no matter what the outcome may be. Remember I said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "My God is able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down to your idol." My favorite story in the Bible is that of Stephen. That's why we named him Stephen. Acts chapter 7, verse 55 to 56 says, "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 'Look,' he said, 'I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" See, Stephen didn't see the mob around him. He saw Jesus. Even when the stones began to come at him, still all he saw was Jesus. When the battles come your way, what do you tend to see? Where are you focused? When those battles come, are you going to focus on the giants or the stones or on Jesus? The only way that you're going to know true victory is when, like Jehoshaphat, you can stand and watch God bring you to victory when you are powerless. It's so often that God allows us to get to a place where it seems like there's absolutely no way that this is going to turn out good. And then, or as I've said before, that I heard that God is almost always nearly late. He waits till just that right moment where biggest impact in our lives. Remember when Lazarus died? He could have left that very moment and got back and healed him before he died, but he waited. And when he got there, the sister said, "If you just went here." And he said, "Oh, this is for the glory of God." And then he stands there and says, "Come forth." All was lost. And if you'd just been a little earlier, and yet God is able to do his greatest work at those times. The Bible tells us in the world you face persecution. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have giants. You're going to have storms. Some of us have already gone through them. But take courage, because I have overcome the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now let God help you win the everyday battles that we are called to fight. See, we're not always going to have to be able to just be on the sidelines. There's sometimes God calls us to fight. Amen? Sometimes he says, "Listen, I need you to go out." He told Gideon, right? He whittled those men all down to 300, I think it was. And they went out against a vast army. See, they still had to fight. And sometimes it's going to look like you're overwhelmed. But you've got to keep focusing on the solution, on God. In some of those battles, you're going to have to join the battle. In others, you may just be able to sit back and sing to the Lord while he battles for you.